Calling all detectives. Most fortune tellers dish out standard stuff. But I met one who seemed able to call the turn on death. That is the situation on this page from my casebook. The casebook of Jerry Browning, private detective. Believe me, Jerry Browning, private detective, there's no easy way to make a living. The house was a big, rambling structure set down in spacious grounds. It looked like any other prosperous home, until the turbaned Indian admitted me.
Enter, Sahib. This humble dwelling is graced with your presence.
He gestured me into a big room decorated with massive furniture and a huge wall mirror. Chandrak Nagil Bey rose, greeted me with dignity.
Good evening, my son. Will you be seated?
Thanks. I sat down at a small table. Chandrak sat opposite me, removed the cover from a crystal ball, stared into it. A moment later, he raised his eyes to me.
What troubles you, Mr. Browning?
That shook me up. I'd come prepared with a phony name and problem to trap a charlatan, but now... Okay, so you know who I am. Then you also ought to know why I'm here. Chandrak nodded sadly.
Yes, my son, I do know. Arnold Lansden accuses me of having defrauded him of money.
You're so right. Now what do we do? Chandrak frowned.
It is of no consequence. My heart saddens for you, Mr. Browning, because the crystal says you are about to die.
When I tried to trap a fortune teller, he announced my impending death. I got up so fast I knocked over my chair. Is that a threat, Chandrak? Chandrak Nagil Bey spread his hands.
I am an old man, Mr. Browning. What have you to fear from me? This Arnold Lansden, if he feels I have cheated him, I will return the money he priced upon me. But you, Mr. Browning, death stands just behind you.
I took a deep breath. You must have a fine system, Chandrak, to have identified me so fast. I picked up my hat. Can I tell Lansden that that you'll refund his $30,000?
Of course. But please, while there is a little time, make your peace with eternity.
I thought about his system as I drove home. Thought about it so much that... I didn't notice the icy patch of road. My car skidded around completely out of control, directly into the path of another car that somehow managed to stop.
Hey! What's the matter with you? You're trying to die?
No, I'm not. And thanks for a good stop. The phone was ringing as I stepped into my apartment.
Mr. Browning, that was merely your warning. Death will play with you twice more. And then... Good night, Mr. Browning.
I didn't go right to bed. I sat up and thought some more. All that did was give me a headache. The next morning, I decided to walk to my office. I hadn't gone more than a couple of blocks when a brick came hurtling down from a rooftop. I dashed into the building, ran up the stairs to the roof, and found...
I am so sorry. 10,000 apologies. You are not hurt.
No, I'm not. Where did that brick come from? A contractor pointed, and I saw a group of men repairing a chimney. Be more careful, mister. You might have killed somebody. I reached my office, sat down at my desk, waited for the telephone to ring. It didn't, so I called Chandrak. Okay, I have the second visit. When's the next?
Don't be so impatient, Browning. You will die soon enough.
I sat there for a long time. Then I made another call to my client, Arnold Lansden. Mr. Lansden, I'm still investigating that fortune teller, Chandrak. Well, no, sir, I don't know yet what, if anything, we can do about getting your money back. But I'll keep in touch with you. I took a cab back home, got my car out of the garage, and started for Chandrak's house. A blowout wrecked my right rear tire, but otherwise did no damage because I was traveling about 20 miles an hour when it happened. I didn't bother examining the tire. I just put on the spare and kept going. He was wearing a different turban, but he was the same Indian.
Enter, Sahib. The master waits for you.
Chandrak was sitting before the crystal ball. He looked up, smiled warmly.
Come in, Browning. I've been watching your progress here.
He tapped the crystal with a bony finger.
The tire did not delay you long.
All right, Chandrak. I'm licked. What must I do to stay alive? Chandrak smiled.
You are wise, Browning. You intimated to Lansden that you could not recover his money.
My face didn't show any surprise. Does that satisfy you, Chandrak?
Last night, perhaps. Today, no. You must tell Lansden that you are convinced I am worthy of his further confidence.
I shrugged helplessly. I'll try. I got into my car, drove straight back to my office, made another call to Lansden, told him exactly what I'd been instructed by Chandrak to say. Then I went downstairs to the boiler room, cut across an alley into the basement of the next building, reached the street where I took a cab to within 3 blocks of Chandrak's house. I detoured wide, got to the house from the rear. I forced a basement window, then crept upstairs. The Indian, without his turban, was working in the kitchen. I swung my black deck. I caught him as he fell, eased him to the floor. Poor guy. Maybe he never had a crystal ball. The kitchen led to another room. This room was the heart of the joint. Dozens of big filing cabinets on all walls, rotary card index cases of photographs for rapid reference. And on the wall facing the door, a big window looking into the consultation room. I remembered seeing the other side of that window, which was the mirror. One-way glass. From this room, you could look out, but nobody could look in. I turned, and there was Chandrak behind me.
Poor deluded soul. So you have elected death, after all.
I swung my blackjack under his nose. Well, no. Not unless this blackjack happens to fracture your skull.
Ali! Ali!
No use, Chandrak. Ali's asleep. Go on. Pull a gun or something, so I have a legitimate excuse for boffing you. Huh? Oh, well. The charge, in case you're interested, is extortion, blackmail, intimidation, felonious assault with intent to kill, wiretapping, and maybe I'll think of more on the way to headquarters. Let's go. What's more, I made every charge against him stick. The skidding on ice was a real accident, but all the rest was planted. He had a dozen undercover stooges and shadows working for him. That's how good his little racket was. Well, it lasted. Like I said, if anybody could really foresee the future, he'd never need money from anybody. Not while there was even one racetrack in the country.